Soma.
Ayajat.
Performed.
Rajasu
Yena.
The sacrifice known as Rajasuya.
Jitya.
After conquering.
Uvanatraham.
The three worlds.
Swarga,
Marcha, and Patala.
Patnim,
the wife.
Brahaspatehe,
Abrahaspati,
the spiritual master of the demigods.
Darpat,
out of pride.
Taram,
Tara.
Nama,
by name.
Aharat,
took away.
Balat,
by force.
Translation:
after conquering the three worlds, the upper, middle, and
lower
planetary systems,
Soma, the moon god,
performed a great sacrifice known as the Rajasuya
Yajna.
Because he was very much puffed up,
he
forcibly kidnapped
Brahaspati's
wife, whose name was
Tara.
You can repeat:
after conquering the three worlds,
the upper, middle, and
lower planetary
systems,
Soma
the moon god
performed
a great sacrifice
known as the
Rajasuya Yajna.
Because
he was very much puffed
up,
he forcibly
kidnapped
Brahaspati's wife,
whose
name was Tara.
So
there's no purport
for this text,
nor for the next one,
but the third text
does have a purport.
So
text 5.
Yidasa
deva
guruna
yachito
vikshna
shomadat
anatyajat
takrite
jagne
sura
dhanava
vigraha.
Although
requested again and
again by Brahaspati,
the spiritual master
of the demigods,
Soma
did not
return
Tara.
This
was due to his
false pride.
Consequently,
a fight
ensued
between the
demigods
and the
demons.
Text 6.
Shukro
brahaspater
dveshad
agrahit
sasuro
dupam
haro
guru sutam
snehat
Sarvabhuta
Ganavritaha.
Because of
enmity
between
Brahaspati
and
Shukra,
Shukra
took the
side of the moon god
and was joined
by the demons.
But
Lord Shiva, because of
affection for the
son of his spiritual
master,
joined
the side
of Brahaspati
and was accompanied
by
all the ghosts
and
hobgoblins.
So,
purport
by His Divine Grace,
A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami, Śrīla
Prabhupāda,
Śrīla Prabhupāda
Ki Jai.
The
moon god is one of
the demigods,
but to fight
against the other
demigods,
he took
the assistance
of the
demons.
Shukra,
being an
enemy of Brahaspati,
also joined
the moon god
to retaliate
in wrath
against
Brahaspati.
To
counteract
this situation,
Lord Shiva,
who
was affectionate toward
Brahaspati,
joined
Brahaspati.
The father
of Brahaspati was
Angira,
from whom Lord
Shiva had received
knowledge.
Therefore,
Lord Shiva
had some affection
for Brahaspati
and joined his side
in this fight.
Shridhar
Swami
remarks,
Angirasas
sakashat
praptavidyohara
iti
prasiddha.
Lord Shiva
is well known to have
received knowledge
from
Angira.
So,
Omagana
Timadanda Shah,
Gananjana
Shlakaya,
Chakshur
and Miditan Yena
Tezmai,
Shi Gurveena
Maha. So
there's several things we
can note with
these different
interactions going on.
First of all,
when
one has
power, prestige,
what is it?
Janmaishwarya
Prashatai.
Janmaishwarya
Prashatai.
Shrita
Shri
As Queen Kunti
says, when one is
bewildered
by these things,
especially when
one is bewildered by lust,
one
can do anything.
And
what we see
here
that Soma did is actually completely unacceptable. And what that is stealing his spiritual master's wife. Remember, Brihaspati is Soma's spiritual master. So imagine, you know, a spiritual master has a wife, not a sannyasi, and you steal her for illicit life. Hare Krishna, that's the first point. Second point that we notice here is that when there's a fight between the spiritual master and disciple, which is highly unusual too, but a fight between two personalities, one of whom has committed sinful activities, we find that people take sides based upon personal interests, not upon what is dharmic and what is not dharmic. This, of course, is called a conflict of interest. And generally, in the justice system, I mean, of course, I don't know how much justice there is today in the United States and other places, you're supposed to recuse yourself from a particular situation where you have a conflict of interest. Just like in America, we have someone who's called the Attorney General. I've never heard of that before. And in a particular situation where there has been some rumor, accusation, whatever you call it, about people, let's say, taking advantage of mixing with the Russians for the election to help the present president of the United States, the Attorney General actually recused himself from that particular investigation because he had some connection with the Russians. And that's an honest thing to do, to recuse yourself, right? So here we find that Shukracharya is not recusing himself because of his animosity. And even it's indicated here that Lord Shiva, of course, Lord Shiva, this is a pastime with Lord Shiva, he's a great pure devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Lord Shiva, because of affection for Brihaspati, who was the son of his spiritual master, he took the side of Brihaspati. Of course, Brihaspati was in the right at this particular juncture. And, you know, obviously, if someone has taken away your wife, then people who are dharmic should take your side rather than your wife's side or ex-wife's side, as the case may be, isn't it? Or rather than the side of the person who kidnapped your wife? I mean, that's pretty weird. I mean, Shukracharya knows better. So he's overcome. I'm going to talk a little bit about Shukracharya. He's overcome by animosity. So we have to be very careful of our emotions. Avritam ganamaitena ganino nichavayana kamarupena pantya dushparena analena cha. That our intelligence, avritam ganamaitena, becomes covered by lust, anger, greed. So here, in this particular case, it's not really lust, but it's anger. Shukracharya's intelligence became covered by anger because he really hated Brihaspati like anything. And the reason he hated Brihaspati like anything is that there's actually several reasons. One is that there was some, let us say, competition as to who would be the priest of the demigods. And they chose Brihaspati instead of Shukracharya. And Shukracharya comes from a pretty good family too. I mean, Shukracharya's father is Bhrigu Muni. You know, he's one of the great sages. So he certainly was very qualified, but he became very, very bitter. Another reason why Shukracharya was actually had this inherent bitterness that covered his intelligence, so he took the wrong side, was that, and you can understand, you have to be a little empathic with poor Shukra, is that Lord Vishnu killed his mother. I don't know if you know this. That somehow or other, his mother like tried to prevent Lord Vishnu from coming to the house one day. And Lord Vishnu just killed the poor mother of Shukracharya. And so naturally he was a little bit upset with Lord Vishnu as a result of that. And of course, fortunately, Bhrigu Muni was able to bring his wife, which was Shukracharya's mother, back to life with his mantras.
So the poor lady was brought back to life, but still, you know, Lord Vishnu did this. You know, he killed the mother of Shukracharya. Another reason Shukracharya is envious is that because of the Lord Vishnu blinded him in one eye. So anyway, so he's definitely biased. He's definitely very, very biased. And you see, we're going to tell more stories about the demons and Shukracharya that illustrate how you can even turn against your own spiritual master because of your emotions, because of your lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. And this story involves Shukracharya. It's a very interesting story. So Shukracharya, as we mentioned before, is the enemy of the demigods, and he's the guru of the demons. And he's also called Shukracharya because he believes in the seminal succession. He's very attached to his family, very attached to opulence and everything like that. So what happened is once upon a time, the demigods, they were very upset because Shukracharya has this mantra, it's called Mrityu Sanjeevani, which means that the mantra by which you can bring someone back to life. So it's kind of frustrating if you're in the battlefield taking your gun out and shooting your enemies, and then their guru just brings them back to life. I mean, how can you win a battle like that? Like, it's even described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how Bali Maharaj was actually killed in this fight, and Shukracharya brought him back to life, and eventually Bali Maharaj took over the whole universe. So it is kind of frustrating. So the demigods, they were meeting. What are we going to do about this? You know, we have this problem. We can't win a fight because their guru is too powerful. So we have to learn this mantra called Mrityu Sanjeevani. So how are we going to learn it? I mean, how will Shukracharya teach it to us? And then they, Brihaspati had a son. His name was Kachan. And he was a Brahmin, of course. Brihaspati is a Brahmin, and his son was, of course, a Brahmin. And Brihaspati said to his son, you become the disciple of Shukracharya. This is interesting. And he said, but, you know, normally Shukracharya is not really going to give you the Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra, but, you know, you can use some subterfuge here. And what was that subterfuge? That Shukracharya had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Devyani. And so, you know, if you please the daughter, then basically the father, he's just going to follow whatever you ask the daughter to ask the father. That's the secret. That's it. That's why we please Padma, so her parents are here. So anyway, that's the secret. So this Kacha, he goes to Shukracharya, and he praises Shukracharya, because Shukracharya also, he was very much amenable, could be very much manipulated by praise. Oh, you're so nice, you're greater than my father, etc., like that. And then it's described that Kacha was actually singing like really sweet songs to Devyani. I mean, almost love songs. I mean, he didn't say that I love you, I want to marry you, because that wouldn't have been appropriate. But it's described he had all his like musical performances with Devyani, and they were going back and forth, walking with her in the forest. And she became very attached to Kacha. So it shows that if someone, this is, you know, the whole topic today is that if someone is very attached to their body, false prestige, then they will not be samadarshi, they will not be seen equally. They will not be able to institute or apply justice, the principles of justice. You know, just like you see, the statue of Lady Justice, she's actually blind, she's holding a scale, and she's blind. So justice should be like that. Anybody who has a conflict of interest, I mean, of course, we're dealing with a particular issue right now in the GBC about that. We're not going to get into the details, because it's kind of confidential, about a particular judgment that was given against a particular devotee. And whether the judgment is valid or the judgment is not valid is not the point. But the point is that it was influenced by people who had conflicts of interest, either psychological conflicts of interest or pecuniary conflicts of interest. Pecuniary means like financial conflicts of interest or familiar conflicts of interest. Those are the different conflicts of interest that arise. You know, that even if you look at some, let's say if a lady looks at a man because he's a handsome, she's thinking, oh, he's nice. I mean, that's a conflict of interest. She's not using her intelligence. Intelligence means the mature ability to discriminate apart from the mind. What is the mind's business? Accepting and rejecting things according to whether it makes you feel good or doesn't make you feel good. That's the mind. Sankalpa vikalpa. But the intelligence is like discrimination. What is the goal in life? What is the right thing? Do the right thing. There was one famous radio personality who always had this motto, do the right thing. And I appreciated that very much. Of course, I didn't listen to her that much. But that's really what we should be thinking. What is the right thing? What would please Krishna? Not what just feels good to me, or because of my emotions, my pent-up anger, my lust is telling me to think like this. But what's the right thing? Usually I just think, what would Prabhupada say about a particular situation? Not what feels good to me. What feels good to me? So many things feel good to me. If I did everything that felt good to me, I'd be dead in about 2 weeks. I'd be eating things that would kill me. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So Devyani convinced her father, you got to accept Kacha. He's a nice boy. And the father, Shukracharya, of course, very much enamored with his daughter. My cute little daughter. It's like children, they're very cute, you know. It's like if your son said to you, right now, but he can't speak. But if he said, I want an iPhone, you'd probably go out and get an iPhone for him right away. Even though he's not able to use one, or he said, I wanted a gun. But anyway, probably he'll say that. So anyway, so that'll probably be his first words. Gun. So this familial relationship, she was able to convince her father. Her father accepted Kacha. Said, okay, become my disciple. And Kacha began to humbly serve Shukracharya as his guru. And so this went on, as I can describe, for 1,000 years he was serving Shukracharya. Nowadays you get disciples who serve for a few months. Then they want their own life. Anyway, so this is 1,000 years. They don't have surrendered disciples. Even though Kacha had some ulterior motive and Shukracharya was a demon, the service went on for 1,000 years. So after 500 years and you're serving nicely, this also points out another thing. The demons, who were disciples of Shukracharya, thought, Gurudev was acting improperly. So we got to do something. He's going to give this Sanjeevani mantra to Kacha because his daughter is influencing him. So let's get rid of this Kacha. So one day, Kacha was in the forest, I guess, collecting firewood for Shukracharya. And the demons sort of chopped him up. This is before he learned that you're Sanjeevani. They chopped him up and fed him to the wolves. And so that night, Kacha didn't come back. And so, of course, Shukracharya wasn't that worried, but Devyani was. She was in love with him. And so she said, Dad, where's my Kacha? That handsome Kacha. And he said, I don't know. And she said, she was thinking, maybe he was killed by the other demons. The other demons had actually killed him because they were worried about that. It's another instance of sacrificing one's own equanimity, one's own understanding of justice, understanding of ethics. Because the demons generally, they did have an understanding of ethics. They weren't just like rakshasas generally. They were demons, but they were educated, Vedic, cultured demons. Try to understand that. It's not that they were just like that film Woodstock. I don't know if any of you have seen that film, Woodstock, where people were all naked, rolling around with pigs at a music festival in New York. Mother Christian Green was there for that festival. She didn't do any of that stuff, but she was preaching. So the demons actually were cultured. So anyway, so the demons, they chopped him up. So Shukracharya thought, well, I got to bring him back to life. So he pronounces Mitru Sanjeevani mantra, please come and catch up. And the wolves actually all died because their stomachs split up because he was within their stomachs. All right. So Kacha comes back. Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for saving my life. The demons are upset again. And what they do the next time is they crush up Kacha. They kill him. And they just put him in the ocean. You know, little pieces in the ocean. And then the same thing happens. Devayani says, my little Kacha. You know, it's intelligent. Actually, if you want to please someone, you have to please their children. Even with Krishna, it applies that way. Like if you please the pure devotee, the spiritual master, then Krishna gets pleased. Yashah prasada, Bhagavad prasada. So that same principle applies in relationship to Krishna and to ordinary people. Like Prabhupada said, if you want to please someone, you please their dog. That was another example Prabhupada gave. So anyway, so the same thing happens. He says his Mitru Sanjeevani mantra, whatever it is, which I don't know. And Kacha's brought back. And so this is quite dramatic for Kacha. Kacha thanks his spiritual master. And then the demons have to say, this is it. We're going to really kill him this time. So the third time, this is a story from the Mahabharata, in fact. The third time, they cremate him, and there's just ashes. And what they do with the ashes is they mix it with wine. And they give the wine to Shukracharya. What kind of disciples are those? They're so worried. They offend the spiritual master. All these conflicts of interest. This is an interesting point. Justice. So, anyway. So they give it to Shukracharya. Devayani says, Da, I need my Kacha back. Okay. The father says, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, he's dead, you know, he's not going to come back. And Devayani says, I can't live without him. And the father says, okay, I got no choice. My daughter said this. So then what happens is that he begins to pronounce the mantra, but then inside his stomach he hears Kacha speaking. He says, Shukra Guru Maharaj, if I come out, I'll kill you. And if I don't come out, I'm dead. So I don't want to kill you. You know, so at least you have that ethic. And Kacha was actually a very ethical person, as you will hear in the story. He was the most ethical of all the people in the story. So he said, I don't want to kill you. And then Devayani is all bereft there. She said, without Kacha, I can't live. And without you, Dad, I can't live either. It's a real complex situation called approach. You know, whatever you do, damned if you do, damned if you don't, as they say. So there, he was thinking, Shukracharya was thinking, what can I do? All right, so he thought, best thing is I teach the Mitru Sanjeevani mantra to Kacha while he's in my stomach. So while Kacha was in the stomach of Shukracharya, Shukracharya began to teach him this mantra. Please chant, Om. Sanjeevani, whatever. And so he taught the mantra. He said, and when you come out and split my stomach, do this mantra and bring me back to life. Okay. So, that's what happened. He chanted the mantra, brought Kacha back to life. His stomach went all over the place. And then Kacha chanted the mantra and brought the spiritual master back to life. So that was nice. You know, this is a very nice reciprocal relationship. And then what happened is, of course, they continued for some time. So after 1,000 years, Kacha said, goodbye, Guru Maharaj. And he gave his traditional guru darshan. But when he was getting ready to leave, Devayani said to him, "I love you. You can't leave. Don't leave. Live with me." And so she was completely in love with him. I mean, which is obvious because he had been like pulling her heartstrings for 1,000 years. Poor girl. I mean, she had been manipulated by Kachyap. He had no intention of any romantic relationship. And he said to her, basically, "No way, Devayani, because you're like my sister. First of all, the guru is the father. You're the daughter of the guru. Secondly, you used to be inside your father. You know this. Pungsarita kanashaya. That the child is actually the semen of the father and gets injected into the mother. So you were previously inside your father, and I was previously inside your father." You understand the logic? Because it wasn't inside the mother. But anyway, so I'm your brother, and this is improper. And Devayani was, you know, crying, "Please, please." And he said, "No way, sister. You know, and what, hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned, you know." So she basically, I'm just like a story of Urvasi and Arjuna. When she couldn't have Arjuna, she said, "You ain't gonna have any lady. I curse you to become a eunuch." So the same, not, but Kachyap wasn't cursed to become a eunuch. He was cursed to not be able to properly execute the Mritya Sanjeevani mantra. After all that, 1,000 years? Whew. Of course, there was a solution for that later on. And so he just said, "This is improper, this curse, but I curse you." And that's the problem sometimes. When you curse someone, they curse you back. He said, "I curse," just like we recently read the story of King Nimi, who was cursed by his spiritual master, Vasishtamuni, to die. And he cursed his spiritual master to die. So Kachyap, in the same way, cursed Devayani, "You will not be able to marry a Brahmin." And of course, that's later on that leads to the story of Yati, you know, and Devayani and Samishta. That whole story is there in the Bhagavad Gita, which we already read. So Kachyap was able to go eventually to the demigods and teach some of the other ones, the demigods, the Mritya Sanjeevani mantra, even though it wouldn't work for him. She didn't say to him, "You will forget the mantra." She said that you will not be able to perform the mantra. So anyway, so these are some of the stories of Shukracharya. Shukracharya also, this is an interesting thing, even though he's a demon spiritual master, after he had that whole episode of drinking wine, which was mixed with the ashes, and he became a little intoxicated, he cursed anybody who drank wine from then on. He said, "Anybody, or especially any Brahmin who drinks wine, will be completely fallen, completely contaminated." So that's also a curse by Shukracharya. So, anyway, the point of telling all these stories to illustrate how there's all these conflicts of interest and how people don't think clearly, how people don't use their intelligence. So what do? We have to cultivate Krishna conscious intelligence by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, associating with devotees, and actually asking, revealing our minds and confidence, Dadati Pratipunati, Guyam Akyati Prachati, with the devotees, and asking for advice, being humble enough to mistrust our own mind and judgment. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, you should beat your mind with a cane, with your shoes. So we should mistrust sometimes our mind. Our mind can it be our worst enemy, and an uncontrolled mind is the worst enemy, a controlled mind is the best friend. So we control the mind with the intelligence. Intelligence describes the form direction of the super soul as long as it's fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Yes?
Supra was born of a
good family.
Good family.
Yeah.
And he became essentially a demon.
Yeah.
So
because of animosity.
Yeah. So this, I think, is a very good lesson, because it's like you, when you start out as a devotee, but
yeah.
you become essentially demoniac with bad association or by giving into lust, anger, and
yeah.
greed.
Right. I'm getting under the control of the mind instead of the intelligence.
So he takes up the whole, and he becomes like this, the, kind of like an integral part of the demons.
Yeah.
But he wasn't even really part of them until he made the decision to join.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Brahman in the mode of goodness.
Because he could become the demigod.
Yeah.
Guru, he said, I'll just take a guru someplace else.
That's right. And had he become the demigod's guru, he would have functioned quite effectively in that capacity. But he had some pecuniary or self-interest. And generally the demigods, they do that. I mean, just like we're reading here about how different demigods or demons take different sides in different battles, even against each other, because of their own self-interest. So sometimes we find even devotees, immature devotees, they fight with each other because of their self-interest, not thinking of the interests of Srila Prabhupada. But they're thinking of their own, you know, their own partisan or whatever interests. So that's, it's something that we should avoid. Yes?
I have a question about
because even we can succumb to that too.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine the son of Brigham Mooney. That's a high position. I mean, my father was not for the movie, that's for sure. So.
This is unrelated.
Unrelated?
Yes.
Okay.
Something that popped in my head last night, and I was asking you because. So we're doing the Tulsi Puja presentation.
Yeah.
Third translation. And so the prayers say, I beg you to make me follow the Calvary Council Raj.
Right.
Just give me the privilege to worship service and make me your main servant. So what I get from this prayer is that we are asking to become main servant.
Yeah, that's Manjari Gopi.
So my question is, why, we can speak a little answer, but why would Srila Prabhupada give us this prayer
That's an interesting question. And I'm not going to speculate upon Prabhupada's particular situation, which I could, in regard to that question. My understanding is, I mean, I'm just going to give a philosophical understanding, is that everybody in the Goloka Vrindavan is, they may not have female bodies, but they're Prakriti in relationship to Purusha. So in an ontological sense, we're all female. And not in that, let's say, the external, we don't want to use the word external, but not in the spiritual body sense, we're all female. And everyone in Goloka Vrindavan is serving the Rasa dance, is a maidservant in one sense, maybe not in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense, everyone is like a maidservant of Radha and Krishna. Because even the coward boys, I mean, of course, Mani Mangal, that's easy to understand that. Coward boys, trees, the cows, they're all like, let's say, part of the arrangement for Radha Krishna conjugal loving affairs. That's my understanding. And, I could get into speculation about Prabhupada's ontological position, but I'm not going to do that. Okay. Saved by the conch. Instead of the bell. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, keep.